Welcome to the Fantasy Amateurs and Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast collaboration for 2024. We've joined forces to bring you the best fantasy content with a rotation of fantasy experts and fantasy nuggets, reviewing the week and answering your NRL fantasy questions. Welcome to the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs question collaboration week four. It doesn't get any shorter week by week, guys. That's the intro. I'm your host, Stuart Lord, and tonight I'm joined by Nick Lord, Matt and Burton Lover still, Fantasy Nugget. How are you going, Nick?
What it do, baby? Going good, mate. Going good.
Excellent. And then I've also got Belent from the NRL Fantasy Amateurs back again this week. How are you going, Belent?
Yeah, I'm good. Good, good, good. Ready to get into some questions. Ready.
Excellent. And all the way from the other time zone, we have Mark from the Fantasy Amateurs as well. How are you going, Mark?
Awesome, mate. I'm living in the, I think I'm in the past. Yeah, I'm living in the past. So, but hopefully I can give some true and correct information tonight. Learn some lessons from you boys over the last couple of weeks. So.
Excellent. Well, look, there's certainly been plenty of questions this week, although not as many as I thought. I think some people have just actually deleted the app this week. And a lot of the time we kind of get questions around, you know, should I trade or should I not? But this week, everyone knows that they have to trade. And it's kind of such a disaster fire that everyone knows what they got to sell, right, Nick?
Yeah, it's a bit of a crash site, you know, like a multi-car crash site. And there's just like blood and guts. And yeah, it's pretty nasty this week.
Excellent. Well, normally I do a quick review of how people are going, but this week I'll instead ask, how many players did you have in your side before trades this week? How many green dots? Let's start with Belent. How many green dots this week?
I've just scraped together 17, but before that, 15.
15.
Yeah, 15.
How about you, Mark?
I had 16. Just shy of wing fullback, but other than that, good to go.
Nice, Nick.
Is Cotter playing?
Yes.
But is he playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's come out and said today he's playing.
Okay, sweet. So then I think I had 17 or 18. I don't know.
Excellent. And I had 15, and I've come back up to 17 with a double trade, so just scraped over the line. So unfortunately, saving trades week one, it turns out, was not the play because I'm just a week behind. Anyway, mistake has, maybe it'll pay off at the end of the year when everyone gets injured again like this. I don't know. Let's try and hope. All right, let's get to some questions. So, look, I'll take this one as a comment. Austin Murphy says, more bust than boom this week. That's for sure. It certainly is, mate. There's a lot of people who are in for a lot of hurt this week. I think I've seen on the NRL Fantasy Facebook page some people showing teams where they've got like maybe 13 players before trades this week or 12 available. And that's just, I don't know what to say to those people, right? Like, you look and you're like, I can't even give you advice, can you? Anyway.
I think the best advice in something like that is just try to set your team up as best as possible for future weeks, and don't compound your mistake by buying worse, like taking bad decisions this week.
Well, guys, if you do post anonymously on the NRL Fantasy Facebook page, ask Mike.
Cowards.
No, it's not me.
Cowards.
Because I just looked at it, and I'll be honest with you, I just brushed you this week because I'm like, there's nothing to be done. You team is currently on fire. You just, it's like one of those Tesla cars where they catch on fire. They just kind of got to let it burn for a couple of days, right? That's just it. We're just done. You're cooked. Write it off. Come back 2025. Anthony Brown asks, 500k in the bank, has Cleary. He wanted Hines round 7. Now Cleary is gone. Should he hold Cleary and use 500k to get a Carrigan to captain, or should he go Hines this week and to hit the buy? It's 900k, obviously, which is a lot. Nick, thoughts on that one?
I don't have Cleary, so I can't truly empathize what it would be like. But I think if I had Cleary, I would lean to holding him. I'm not sure. I'd trade him because he was always going to miss the one game, so he'll with the bye. So he's probably going to miss the next two, and then he'll be back after that. So I think it's worth holding because you're going to bring him back in anyway at some point. And then once you bring him back in, then you just burn all these trades for not many good options out there. So I think you're right, Anthony. I'll be looking at Carrigan, or I just hold Cleary, but that's what I'd lean towards.
Yeah, look, this is going to be asked quite a few times tonight. So, Belent, are you a Cleary owner?
Yeah, I'm a Cleary owner.
Did you sell him?
Nah, I'm holding him just because I've got so many other fires to put out. And like Nick said before, I'm going to have to get him in again at some stage. So I'm just looking long term and just trying to save those two trades, really.
Nice. Mark, are you a holder?
Yeah, no, I'm a Cleary owner and holder and feeling pretty comfortable with that decision, particularly given the information that he may play next week, although I don't think I believe that. Even if he doesn't, you got Hines on the bye. So, yeah, big hold vibes.
Excellent. And look, I am also holding, to be honest with you, I booked Carrigan the week before because Haas was out. So I'm just literally stopping my team from falling apart at the moment. So the fact that I've selling Wong and Piakora this week shows where my team is at. So Anthony, hold if you can, go spend the money, go get a guy like Carrigan or some sort of captaincy option. Rob Lloyd asks, he goes, rank Perez, Campbell and Gutho. Who's the best?
Rob Lloyd, that's Rob Lloyd, mate.
And who has the most upside potential? So, Mark, of the people with wing fullbacks this week, who people need to find, who are they looking for?
Oh, man, I think the obvious answer to the question is Jaden Campbell in terms of the price point upside. Obviously, it's hard with the Titans projected to be poor, but it's never stopped Jaden Campbell before.
Mate, you had an R in that word. They're going to be poo. They're going to be poo.
Okay, they're probably going to be poo. Jaden Campbell is one. Otherwise, obviously we flagged potentially Mike Osivo as an option, but I think Jaden Campbell's my preferred option this week.
Excellent. Belent, I know that you're going to talk us through some of these premium options in a little while. Nick, has anyone made it into your team this week from the wing fullback side?
Carraz, I missed the boat, I feel like, even though...
He's only 20K past his starting price.
Yeah, I feel like he needed that score, though, because he could be one of those guys who does score a 30 and a 90, you know?
Mm.
He really tore it up, and I'm not sure if he can maintain the rage week to week. Necessarily. Campbell, I'm not too sure about. A guy who's pretty undercooked heading into the season. He definitely passes the eye test, but Gutho is an interesting one.
Yep.
Because I have previous years had googly eyes for him and brought him in. And basically, he goes gangbusters without Mitch Moses, but what's his break even this week? Like 58. 58 or something?
I think it's probably a week's wait at least on him, right? Watch and see.
Yeah. And he's, I think he's goal kicked at the beginning of the season here. So,
but he's been goal kicking already. His scores still haven't been great, which is hence that break even.
That's what I mean, is that if he wasn't goal kicking and his scores were not so great. So I think he's one to just wait a week and then see what happens from there.
I like it. Excellent. Well, look, we got Fantasy Amateurs. Ryan has asked, by Paul Pierce versus Terrell May. So basically, there's about 70K difference between them. Valent, if you had to choose between the two right now, put one in your team, who would you be taking, Kai Pierce-Paul or Terrell May?
Myself, I'd probably be going with May just because he sort of looks like a cut price keeper. Sort of just want to see what KPP does over the next couple of weeks. He's probably definitely a buy, but at the moment, I'd be bringing May in just with a view to just keeping him to the end, really.
Excellent. Mark, thought for you, mate. Are we worried about KPP with the bench this week, or is it looking like a better bench for him to play 70 plus minutes?
Oh yeah, I think that they're phasing Frizzell out of the 80 minute role and pushing him into the middle a little bit, and I'm pretty comfortable that he's an 80 minute player now that he's shown them what he's got. So yeah, I like the, as much as you can trust any player that's sort of pretty new, I think you can trust his role. So I'm not concerned at all.
Who would you buy this week?
Oh, look, the thing with May is we've got a pretty big sample of him being awesome. If you have a look at his reserve grade games back to 2021, even where he plays at least 50 minutes, he's pretty much that point a minute. He's got a 20 game sample in Cup where he plays 60 minutes for 59 points or thereabouts. So, I mean, we've seen him do it. Lindsay Collins is a big minute player. I think May's the safer option, but, you know, we're talking about a price gap of about 70K and difference of position as well. Edge has kind of quietly been a dumpster fire. So
not quietly, man. Not after this week. The fact that Tupanura is still in my squad says that something is really wrong.
Well, there's that.
There's that. Let's keep on going. All right, Nick. We have Nathan Affleck is asking, Dillbags versus Fogarty.
Oh man, that's tough because Dillbags goes ham. Give you a second, pulling it up. Okay, so without Moses, he's a 58 kind of guy.
Price stat, 48 at the moment?
Yeah, he's lost a bit of coin, but with Moses, he's a 51 kind of guy. So, you know, I know Fogs is going really well. I am a Fogs fader, but that's my cross to bear, not anyone else's. So I'd go Dillbags, to be honest, over the Fogs. Fade the Fogs.
Fair enough. Anyone strongly opposed? No. Excellent. Keep it moving. Oh, sorry, Mike.
Oh, I was just going to say it's maybe a little bit of a short-term versus long-term play. You know, like Fog, if you're planning on keeping somebody for the whole year, I don't think it's Brown. It might be Fogarty, but you're looking at, you know, short-term upside. Obviously, Brown can do things that Fogarty can't do.
Like score a try.
Yeah. Like
outrun Josh Papali'i.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but yes, that is exactly correct.
Mate, that's what this podcast is for, is saying the things that pop off the top of your head.
Yeah, him and Drew Hutchinson would be a running race that was closer than it should be.
Okay, so Ross Ritchie asks, so it was a question for Mitch, who's not with us tonight, but how long is James Fisher-Harris out for? The answer is it's just non-contact. We don't know. There's just not been enough info put out there. They say it's not structural, so he won't need surgery, but it could mean a whole bunch of different things. And we've already answered, mate, your question, Croker or Jones, to take moments from Kai Paul Pierce. And the answer is we don't think so, or at least, what, 5 to 10 max if he's looking gassed. All right, let's move on. Next lot of Facebook questions. So I try and swap these around each week because there's plenty of different ways. So you guys can put in questions on Facebook, Instagram, and there is the Discord as well for Fantasy Amateurs if you want to get on there and chat with the boys. So all these places we pull the questions from, I kind of swap around where we order them from this week. So Cliff Stone asks, or, you know, it's not, he's really just given a comment, which is going Cleary to Fogarty, Moses to Teddy. Oh, mate. And then he's got Carrigan and Kulikefu next week now. So, yeah, mate. Cliff, feel bad for you, mate. It's some weeks you just get stung. So just let it be that Tesla battery and just call your insurance company. Speak to those lovely people at AAMI. Jamie Mark Keeley asks, think everyone is wondering the best captaincy candidates. So I think I asked one of you guys to think about the best captaincy candidate. I think it was me. So there's, look, I'm just going to talk the three that came off the top of my head, which was the safe guy. Looks to me like Patrick Carrigan this week. He's playing North Queensland, who like to play a lot through the middle. He loves to make a ton of tackles, and he will be pretty safe this week. If you'd like to go to the casino, you can go for a guy like Tom Trbojevic.
That'd be going to the casino and a half. Wow.
Mate, yeah, for a triple, I've got Ben Trbojevic. Nah. Tom Trbojevic, who
is
up.
Is that a casino in like Cuba or somewhere? Yeah. Like that?
That's it. No, so I've got Tom Trbojevic over there who's playing the Dragons win. So, look, the thing is that even if it's windy, he's a guy who runs the ball, not kicking it. So the stadium issues down there won't affect him. And I reckon that he'll have a pretty good time carving them up around the edges. The only other guy that I've seen talked up a little bit this week, which could be interesting. And like you've obviously got Nico Hines sitting out there. He's playing the Raiders. He has come off a couple of not great weeks and he has the bye next week. So look, if you already own him, you've owned him to captain him for a situation like this, so you can still pull that trigger. But I probably wouldn't be going out rushing to buy Hines just for that captaincy coin this week, because the Raiders have been surprisingly good. It's kind of like they've found whatever formula worked last year and they've just kept with it, doubled down on it, really.
Yeah. One thing we discussed on the pod last night, obviously, is the decimated forward pack and the potential negative impact on Nico Hines. But on the flip side of that, the guy who I have my captaincy on this week is Cam McInnes.
Yep. Cam McInnes could certainly do a job this week with the number of people that are out. I'm just let's play up the bench because they move Talakai in, didn't they?
Yeah, so Talakai is on the edge. And they've got Daniel Atkinson, who's like a outside back half type dude on the bench as well.
He certainly
is. And they've got that the sort of rookie prop who only played that one game of 20-odd minutes there. So it really is, it's Hazelton, McInnes, Jack Williams, and whoever the other starting prop is there.
Talakai's on edge. I mean, he's going to, I guess, he can't be any more cooked than he is in the centers, Talakai. far out. Having a look here, Billy Burns, Tuku Hau Tapua, Jack Williams. So look, if you own Jack Williams this week, you're friggin' laughing because, yeah, you're right. McInnes could certainly be an option, but I wouldn't buy him this week. I would just hold. Just trying to think if there's anyone else that's really jumping out to me. Look, if you already own Latrell, this is a week to captain him against the Dogs because there's been basically everyone's been jumping down his neck and basically saying this sucks.
I think Isaiah Yeo might be an option as well if you own him.
Isaiah Yeo will definitely be worth a shout. He is 100% because he's the guy who always steps up when Cleary is out. Like,
no, in 2022, he averaged 64 without Cleary and 56 with.
There you go. Because he just played the extra minutes, right, as well? So can you check his minutes without
him? It's about the same minutes.
He just does more.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, look, Isaiah Yeo is another great option out there. So the only issue I have is obviously he's only if you own him. So out of the ones that you can go out and spend coin to buy this week, like Isaiah Yeo is probably near his top price point with a buy in 2 weeks, as is Nico. If you're going out to buy some this week, it would probably come in order of Paddy Carrigan, got a great window ahead of him, probably Cam McInnes, and Turbo be the three that I consider going out and spending money on. Anyone else out there that people can think of? King Appy?
Terrell May's a really interesting caption option this week as well, with a 60-minute play, if you're looking for a floor.
That's true. They've brought in more forwards because of the depth that they have in that spot, but you're right, they've got quite a few guys there. Like, he should get some decent minutes there, like probably, what, at least 50, are we thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's 55 to 60 for 55 to 60 points.
Ingus, Egan, Nefuda, White, Connor Watson. Yeah, so they do have four forwards in there, or 3.5, but yeah, I do get the point. I guess it depends on if they decide to sub Bradley at some point, because he did look pretty at the end of last week. And how many times they can continue to cycle through second rowers in a game, I'm not.
Yeah, well, they only used the one sub on the second row last week. They just bought Tupanua off with 25 minutes to go or whatever it was, and that was it. So Robinson seems to have worked out his rotation a little bit. So, see how we go.
Excellent. All right, let's kick on with the next one. Corey asks, he just said that you could choose Appy as a captaincy option. So Lockie Black, is it necessary to replace Cleary with another half? I think we talked through that one, which is a lot of us are holding. He's got Hopgood as a captain option. Well, that's fine too. Yep, mate, you can certainly use the money elsewhere. You can hold. Ty Spence, trading in Campbell and Galvin, can trade at Sam Hughes and Levi to get them. But would you keep either of those over Cleary, Pecor, or Chan? Mate, I'm not sure I'm selling Green Dots this week. Anyone see a reason why you wouldn't sell Pecor this week? Especially to go and get like a cashy like Galvin and Campbell?
I think he's fine to sell. There was some chat that it's just a lateral ankle sprain and he might be back as early as next week, even though the Broncos official site says round 8. So it'd be good to have Mitch on with the physio thoughts, but and obviously we don't have any video of it or anything like that. But
well, that would be the hard part. He'd just have to work off that anyway. So he'd be in the same spot we are.
Yeah, 4 weeks is kind of a weird ankle timeline. Normally it's like 6+ for the syndesmosis, or he'll be right for next week with the ankle sprain and sort of not really much in between that. So yeah. 4 weeks is kind of a weird timeline.
That's true. I'll ask Mitch, but I think 4 weeks just might be the ligaments at that point, from memory, around that sort of time. All right, let's go. So, Belent. So, Callum is asking, Cleary to Fogarty and Keeney to Ponga. What are you thinking about there? Like, basically, you're cashing down Cleary and you're trading up from Keeney to Ponga. Does that sound like an upgrade?
Yeah, definite upgrades. No negatives there. Yeah, if I could do that, I'd be doing that for sure.
Yeah, that's one of the few Cleary sales that I've seen, which I've actually liked, which is why I bought it up. I was like, is this just, it's kind of seemed good to me, right?
Yeah, like too good to be true.
Now, the money's there for it, but he's a lucky man, Callum Green. So, yeah, mate, pull the trigger. Nick, Sean Mitchell asks, so could you go through all the players? Okay, no, he's asking us way too big a question there. So let's go through Zion Kohu. He's asking about Tommy Turbo versus the Dragons. So as a Dragons supporter, what do you think Tommy Turbo is going to do?
I don't really know. I think you nailed it off air, Stu, that DeBellin's off the bench to shore up. I think he'll play the 60 minutes after the first 20 and just sort of shore up. The Dragons sort of been fading after the first 20. They come out guns blazing and then just sort of fade off at the beginning of the first half and then, you know, come out of the dressing rooms really cold in the second half. So basically, I think Manly did the same thing last week against the Eels. So it's going to be a really interesting first 20 minutes and just going to see who can sort of break the game open. You know, Turbo looked very dangerous, I think, last week as well. The forwards from Manly looked good. The Eels just got on top of them in a bit of a weird game. So, I've got Turbo and he's definitely one of my captaincy options. Basically, Turbo or Carrigan in my mind. I just don't know. I was thinking about that Dragon's right edge and defense of Sua, Bird, and Lomax, and I think they could cook them. I think I could really cook them with Cola's speed particularly. So I think he could put up some huge numbers basically. I'm not sure I'd do it though. If you got another option in the forwards, go for it. But if you don't have any other option, I definitely look at Turbo.
Yeah. I must say I saw something last week when the Dragons were playing, which was that Ben Hunt is kicking the ball and having Lomax properly contested in the air, like trying to catch the ball to score. And the one downside of doing that instead of tackling is that when Lomax missed, Bird wasn't quick enough to stop the winger who did catch the ball from running around him, which meant that that's how I know that they scored a couple of tries in consecutive weeks, or at least got the ball a long way down. So if Turbo's on the receiving end of one of those, he could score a couple of try assists too, right, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I just think that speed against the slowest edge, it's a really bad recipe for the Dragons, basically. And Sua's just a bit slow too. Who's the left edge? Oh, Burbo. Burbo's not that fast either. So, yeah, it's basically Cola on Bird. So that sort of frees up Vaenga. I wish Talau was playing. Where's Talau?
Mate, he's just got a lateral ankle sprain, apparently. But yeah, again,
he'll be back this week anyway.
Oh, mate, it must be a little bit of damage in there. Again, ligaments, I think, rather than being broken.
All right. Okay.
Awesome. Okay, so next one. So, Mark, Andy Tran asks, who's more trade out, Kotrick or Talau?
Oh, man. Well, I think the James Schiller inclusion instead of Kotrick tells us all exactly how Ricky feels about Kotrick this week. So
did he drop that? Where did he drop the ball last week? Like, he dropped the howler.
I don't see Kotrick make mistakes, mate. I only saw him get meat pies and tackle bus. So I don't watch the bad stuff.
Mate, well, that was the best 3 minutes of game you watched. oh, mate. Look, Kotrick looks to be cooked, mate. Talau looks to be cooked. Flip a coin, I'd probably pick Kotrick first. At least Talau might make it back if just Stur just lets him. She's wearing the pants over there because at least she starts each week. anyway.
I was really wondering where that was going.
Oh, mate. Well, look, it ended well. I don't need to cut that.
Did it? Okay.
Bra, bra, bra. All right. So Ollie Freem says needs a wing fullback to cover Pappy this week. So this one's for you, Belent. So he's ranking Krez, Gutho, Campbell, and Chris. So I know that we said have a look at these sort of cheaper and wing fullback options. And then what are you thinking there, mate? If you had to rank him out this week, who's the buy?
Oh, I would say from a price point of view, I'd be going for Jaden Campbell for sure. Someone mentioned it before. There's obvious concerns of buying him and just not seeing him at all. Well, not at all, but just in the preseason, hasn't played much. He's pretty undercooked as well. So I'd be going him, and then after that, it'd probably go Gutho, Karaz, and Chris Blasphemy.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty similar for that. The only thing is, Karaz, he still seems like a buy to me, but it's one of those ones where you might get that second week drop off, right? Like, I'm not sure that they're going to towel up the Souths like they did the poor Gold Coast Titans last week, right, Berlin?
Yeah, but the thing with Karaz as well is, not last year, but the year before, he was doing it against everyone, right? He's always looking for an offload. He's always looking for that crab run with those junk TVs. He's just, I don't know. I hate him. I don't own him. I just hate the guy.
He and Rapana are cut from the same cloth, just all that crabbing, tackle bust, no chill stuff, right?
I think he's been watching Jack Bird of old.
Yeah, well, that's a good call. I like that one. All right. Mark, Lachlan Camarelli asks, so Eels, Sharks and Raiders play 13. For those with Fogarty and Dylan Brown never being an option, it could now mean that you don't want to get Hines around 13. As you might have a surplus half for a major buy. Is that a concern for us this far out?
It definitely could be. That kind of, I guess it's a long play, short play. Odds on, based on what we've seen so far this year, one of those three guys is going to be injured between now and then. I think in the short term, you probably want to try to aim to be as optimal as possible, which means not buying all three of those guys.
Mm. Yeah, look, if you owned one, I wouldn't buy the other now, because you probably will want Nico if he's not playing Origin anyway. So, because he's the guy that you want to cross that period, because Brown will be near the end of his useful life by round 13 anyway. He'll only have a couple of weeks left at best. That sound about right, Mark?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, no, I'm actually maybe more inclined to go the Brown Fogarty route with the belief that I think Nico should be playing Origin.
Okay.
So that would incline me to go Brown definitely isn't playing Origin and Fogarty definitely isn't playing Origin. And I think Brown's got a really nice opportunity to make up a lot of the gap between his price and Hines's price over the next 8 to 9 weeks. So, you know, it may be that you Moses comes back and then you trade Brown to Hines for, you know, similar cost later.
Fair enough. All right. So, Nick, I think we've answered Callum Johnson's question about Kypius Ball, which is that he's probably one of the aimant spot. Yes, he has. So,
hey, just quickly, I was doing some sleuthing on Tommy Talau, and Manly, I don't know if this is a joke or not, but they've named Josh Schuster at lock in jersey 26 because he's as big as 213.
Oh, that's harsh, dude.
Doing the dirty.
Oh, mate. So
26, what's happening?
Oh, I'm having a look at that. Oh, you just posted that in now.
That wasn't even a G up. Was that? Is that for real? Is it?
He's in jersey 26. So this is.
Oh, my God. He's right.
There you go.
How many X's in the XXXL 26 jersey? It'd have to be five or six, wouldn't it?
Mitch wasn't wrong when he said he shouldn't be walking around the golf course on the golf cart. Jesus.
Mate. Yeah, that's it. Is the dodgy calf didn't stop him from going to Macca's. All right. So Brett G. Grady. So Nick, let me ask you this one. So he's just got a bit of a comment here. So let's go to Lance Saggers. Does he go Galvin and May with the captain on Appy/Murray? So we didn't talk about Murray's captaincy option, but the captain Appy/Murray with the intention of getting Hines after the bye, or does he get Galvin and Hines now and probably miss out on May long term? Gut check there, Nick.
Yeah, I got option one, Galvin and May and see on Appy or Murray for sure.
Which
I
one?
I just don't think it makes... I'll pick one.
Appy or Murray.
I actually like the Bulldogs to smack the Bunnies, so I think that's going to be a tough game for them. I think they'll capitulate rather than bounce back. So who are the Tigers playing?
Tigers playing Eels on Monday.
Ooh.
At Bank West.
Oh, God. I don't like either of those, to be honest. I suppose Appy to me. I think Appy because Eels play like an open sort of style of game and they're happy to concede points, right?
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I'm wondering about, so Appy has at hooker since 2015, so it's a pretty big sample. 20% of his scores at hooker are 30 or less, so 1 in 5. So rolling the dice that it's going to be one of the 4 in 5 that he's not going to get a 30 or less, whereas I don't think Murray has a 30 in him. That might be my define. Like, yes, and South looks like a dumpster fire as well, so I'd completely understand anybody putting it on Appy. That's my only concern is Appy does have a floor.
He certainly does. His floor is pretty low. As an owner, I'm certainly not putting the captaincy on him. I'm putting the vice captaincy on him this week. Just looking at his long term, he averages, he's played 13 games against the Eels for an average of 52.
On the plus side, I if you isolate only to 2020 onwards since the introduction of the 6-again rule, that goes to only 10% under 30, but okay. 15% 70 plus.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe it's a floor ceiling play as opposed to Murray, who's more of a like slow and steady wins the race type play. That might be the sort of the best way of thinking. Maybe it's what you need. Like if you got a full 17 this week, it's probably, you know, where you might look at Murray. But if you have a, but see, even here, like Cameron Murray, if you look at games where he plays lock for at least 50 minutes, he scores over 40 on 98.5% of the time. So only 1.5% of the time he scores under 40 when he plays at least 50 minutes at lock. And he's got a 10% rate of 80 plus and a 23% rate of 70 plus. So I think you have to go with Murray.
All right.
Can't you throw those Appy scores in the bin? Because, okay, this is probably a big call, but Appy is basically playing like Cameron Smith at the moment. Basically, he's pretty much the halfback out of hooker. He's gaining all the ball, making all the decisions.
Unlike Penrith, where he was feeding the ball to other people, or last year where he was feeding it to garbage bins outside him.
Correct. Yeah. So the amount of control that he has and therefore influence in attacking stats and things like that, like whilst he might miss some tackles as he has historically, he definitely has I think you could just sort of throw that out of the bin, out the window, to be honest, because his context is completely different to all those years.
There's also, to add to your point as well, that sample only has one, like about 0.7 points per game in goal kicking. So you can probably add add 5 points to every single one of those scores kind of on average. So that would sort of maybe boost him up a little bit as well. Mm. So I think you could maybe push that up to he averages 55.6 in that sample, but that's with only 0.6 goal kicking, 0.7 goal kicking. If you put that up to 5.7, he goes to a 60 average, which is more or less what you put Murray on. I don't have a problem with that at all.
So maybe what we're saying here is safe Murray, a bit of risk in your life, bit of spice, go Appy. But obviously we also don't like captains who are a long way from playing. So all the way to Monday, you know, just in case he does a peer core and rolls over a friggin' ball.
And Murray's got this knee issue too. Like, we haven't mentioned that.
Ooh,
like
Murray does have bursitis.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good, right? That's like a pustule in your knee sort of thing, right? Isn't it? On your ligament or something?
It's the, as far as I understand, it's the liquid sac, which sort of helps prevent your joints there, but it's kind of inflames.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you repeat that, Stu? A sac, is it?
Yeah, it's a sac, and it gets inflamed.
And
that's
it's full
it.
Of liquid.
And it's full of liquid, mate. You love it. Yep. All right, so moving on. But basically, it's a pain management issue, I think, more than anything else for Murray. All right, let's move on. So, okay.
How much pain can he handle being in this Rabbitoh side? Surely his knee's got to go.
Mate, I'll be honest with you, though. Like, he's going to struggle, I think, over the next little while, unless they turn around. It could be that this week's the week, though, right? The Dogs have played a lot of teams back into the form over the last 4 or 5 years. Like, a lot of teams back into form. So
yeah, they looked better last week, though.
So did the Dragons against... We were talking up how good the Dragons were this year when they played the Gold Coast, too. The Gold Coast are playing bad teams form, right? It could be that the Dogs and the Dragons play good teams back into form. I don't know. The fact that they've lost three of the games to probably top six contenders, you know, let's wait. If they get trounced this week, then I think the alarm bells will start ringing over at South's HQ. All right. So Mark Reed asks, if you had to keep one of Tuipeki, Wong, or Piakura, which one are you keeping? Belent, gut check on that one. Tuipeki, Wong, or Piakura?
Well, I don't think Tuipeki is getting one more game, is he?
Nah.
So I wouldn't be keeping him.
So Wong or Piakura?
Look, if I had to, it'd probably be Piakura, because there's so many things that there's been injuries and everything to that Roosters forward pack, and Wong he's still not on the side, right? So yeah, I'd go Piakura if I had to pick one.
Yeah, that sounds about right for me, because I think Wong, well, the fact that they moved Butcher to the edge means I think that Wong is probably going to spend a bit of time in Reggie's, right?
Yep.
Easy. All right, Mark, Captain Ponga or Teddy?
Oh, no.
Excellent.
Z.
Okay, excellent. Moving on.
Danny's a sicko. You're a sicko, Danny.
mate, Teddy versus the Panthers. The Panthers have been fantasy death. So either Teddy has the performance of the year, or is, and then Ponga's versus who is Ponga playing this week?
Warriors.
Away.
In New Zealand.
In New Zealand. Mate, Burbo. Go to Captain Burbo. Catch you later. next up, Percy Watford King goes, with Moses out, is Pennacini a sell? Is anyone here a Pennacini owner?
No, but I want to see this team and see how on earth he's able to sell a green dot.
That's true. Is there anyone who you'd sell him for this week, like Pennacini 4? Is there anyone who's like absolutely killing it out there for
no
you?
No way. No.
Nah. The only guy you might sell it for is Blaze, spank the cash and go use it somewhere else. But Centre's been an absolute dumpster fire, right?
Stop entertaining it, mate.
Yeah, don't sell keepers.
Don't do it, Percy.
Yeah. Yep. I understand why he's asking with the fact of how bad Pennacini is without Moses, but we also haven't seen him play with Blazer yet. So let's give it a week to see that first.
Blazer.
Can Blaze pass the ball, do you think?
Well, he's a half. He was a half and a fullback coming through. He only just played center in this particular game. So I'd suggest he can.
Yep. Oh, he's a half. Okay, I thought he was a fullback. Cool.
No, that's why but it shows you how far Brendan Hands has fallen. He's getting the Nathan Brown treatment now, Brendan Hands. Starts on the bench for a bit, starts on the bench for 3 minutes, gets cut, and then a half position comes up, which he is a half, and he doesn't even make the squad. Mate, I don't know. Once you're on the bad side of BA, you're gone.
Mm. I think it's got something to do with the fact that Blazer is, he's as of like round 8 or whatever, he's legally allowed to talk to other teams, where he's not at the moment. So I think he's getting a bit of the Fine Fuiaki treatment, where they want to give him an opportunity, see what he's got. Because Moses is pretty, like, he's low-key old. He's 29. Brown's had injuries and suspensions, as has Moses. So
And they're desperate for people who can also play lot centre as well at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah. So he's a great option, I think, for the Eels for the long term nature of the Moses injury. And yeah, I'm really curious to see how he goes.
Yep, me too. So we'll get to him in a minute as a bye. All right.
Sorry, just on Talanga real quick. He played 15 minutes on a collapsed lung. Jeez.
Oh,
he's a tough dude.
Must be a Queenslander.
Hey, so who was this playing with a collapsed lung?
Talangi. Blaze Talangi.
Oh, wow. When did you do that? A few years ago.
City country underage side. So
nice.
Maybe under 19s, I'm just guessing, or under 18s.
Sorry, for a second there, you had me worried that he did it last week, and I'm like, oh, man.
No.
How's your name this week? What's BA doing? He'll bring him out there in a hospital wheelchair. All right. So, Belent, question for you, mate.
Sorry. Just one last thing on Talangi. Are we worried about Zach Lomax going to the Eels and pushing Talangi down the pecking order, potentially?
Not now. Not this week.
Nah, I think he was just playing center because they were desperate. I don't think the plan is to play him there because Simonson's going to go into that center spot.
Okay, so Simonson will be the guy to make way, we think?
No, I think Talangi is the half until Moses is back, and then Talangi's back in Reggie's.
Possibly, or otherwise he moves someone like Sean Russell out, like someone who's, you know, a fringe first grader. Or they move Simonson to wing and then move Talangi center.
Yeah.
Because he looked so much better than Gio and Arce. Like, it wasn't close at center. Yep. Like, he just killed it. All right. So, Blent, finally gets this question here. Carl Swanson asks, is anyone going to interrupt this time? Or can I ask the question? No. Cleary and Keeney to Murray and Turbo. This is a big move. Would you do that one, Blent?
Yeah, look, I don't hate it, but if he doesn't have Carrigan, I'd probably go Carrigan over Murray just because he's a way better captaincy option this week. Or maybe even Tohu.
Okay, talk me through Tohu. Why you think you'd get him this week?
Well, they've got a pretty sweet draw. He does definitely looks like he's playing 80 minutes. After I just completely bagged it the first time I was on the podcast.
He said he was busted.
You said he was cooked.
He looks the exact opposite of that. He is looking like a specimen. Yeah, he just looks like he's he looks like he's back to his best. I would 750k. He's looking like he's definitely looking like a keeper as long as he keeps that role. I think he's a strong buy myself.
50 tackles last week.
Yeah, he's a warhorse.
As a Waz fan, Belent, obviously Nikore comes back, first time we've seen him this year. Do you have any concerns about Nikore taking more minutes than someone like Ale, who wasn't playing at all and maybe pinching like 10 minutes from Tohu?
Could do, for sure. Certainly. Yeah, I definitely see around where that is. But are we thinking possibly as well that there could be a little bit of edge bingo there as well with Katewell? I don't even know if Katewell's at 80-minute edge. Did he go off injured or was it an HIA or something the other week?
Rib cartilage.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was?
He certainly could get a bit of swap around if he's got Nichols there too.
Yeah, okay. So Nikore is probably playing through the middle then. Yeah, I mean, there is potential for that, but I'd just be riding the wave for now. If I didn't have any issues in my team this week, I was definitely looking at buying him.
There you go. Well, look, mate, I'd definitely recommend Carrigan or Tohu potentially over Murray. If nothing else, you will get an extra game of Carrigan over Murray up until Origin, where they will both play unless they're both dead. So I think if they're missing him.
Which is worst case scenario.
Yes. Can I flag an interesting pod option to just lob into the middle discussion just while we're...
Sure, yep. We need a middle. Fire. Who's a possible captaincy option? Who you got?
I don't know about the possible captaincy option, but Joseph Tarpany's actually started really, really slow.
Yes. I love it.
His 2022, if you look at his games where he played 45 plus minutes, 2022 averaged 59.3, 2023 54. He's at 43 so far this year, and it's all attacking stats. I think they've had a couple of games that sort of haven't really suited the attack, but he seems to have put the offload away a little bit and the tackle bust. He's down at 0.7 tackle bust per game, down from 3.5 and 2.7. I just wonder if maybe there's some positive attacking regression coming for Tarpany because he's like six, he's under 700K now.
He's the 699. The only thing I'd say for him is, as dumb as it sounds, I'm not sure that he's kind of at his what I call his natural price point about now, wouldn't it be? Somewhere between 700 and 750. Is that correct? He's just at the lower end of that price bracket. Would we want to see him fall a little bit more?
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, his break even's like 65, so there's certainly no rush. But he's just one. If you don't desperately need a middle this week, he's one to keep an eye on for those that missed the May boat and are going to look for a mid. Maybe.
That's true. Awesome. Like, there are some mids out there. Look, I'd be honest with you, this week, if I was going to pick up, I'd probably pick up McKinnon over Tarpany. Like, it's a short-term play, but he's cheaper too. And he will look like to play a ton of minutes in that team.
Is it a good idea to be picking up Sharks players with the bye next week, though? Because, I mean, with all these injuries and stuff, I reckon, I'm not too sure I'll be picking up McKinnon this week myself.
That's true. It is a little bit hard. But then again, how many Raiders can you have before their bye coming up? I do get your point, though.
Oh, get Tohu, mate.
That's true. There you go. It's problem solved. Go get Tohu. Or just,
basically no fantasy-relevant Warriors, so Tohu's a really good pickup in that sense, right?
That's it. Unless RTS does what I want him to do, absolutely slays it at fullback, and they have to send Chance back to centre. That's what I really want, because that's what fantasy really needs this year, is another gun wing fullback who doesn't play Origin. A single. Yeah,
they were talking about it on the Sports Bet podcast, what's it called? Get Them On Side with Joel Kane and Ganane. They were actually talking about it being a really good excuse, like if RTS just absolutely brains it this weekend, to go, oh, well, you know, we gave everybody a chance, but, you know, RTS, he's played there and he's just awesome, and Chance, you're playing center.
That try that he scored last week, dude, where he brushed Tomoko, like, I just saw that and I was like, oh my goodness, he's back, but he's stronger. Like, in the old days, he would have, like, he looks stronger than he used to be, if that's...
He's stronger for sure.
Yeah, and, like, the way that he busted that line, like, in the old days, he would have tried to cut through it, but he just rolled the shoulder, basically, on that movement, and Tomoko just couldn't stop him. So
I think there was a bit of conviction in that run as well, because Tomoko absolutely waxed him earlier on in that game when he scored that try.
Fair enough. Watch out, Blaze Talagi. Turbo might line you up for a return serve, maybe. Awesome. Well, look, let's hope that that's the case. Let's get on to the next question. Percy,
wait. Did you say the Warriors at home against the Knights? RTS at fullback.
Yep.
Oh, booyah.
Captaincy option. Oh, mate, I've got him in my draft squad. I'm kind of wishing I had him in my friggin' fantasy squad right now. Him and Holmes. I had them all preseason, and I thought to myself, this is why you don't need to worry about center. And these two have, in different ways, killed it in this season so far. Right? They haven't lost a cent. Made money. I could have been there. Still looking at Ben Trbojevic and Ethan Strange in my centers and cry. Anyway.
Are we all?
That's it. Moving on.
So painful, yeah.
Oh, mate. I should have just done it. Next year, listen to myself. Percy Wedford King ask, thoughts on Cleary to Teddy and Hutchinson to Fogarty? Nick, Cleary to Teddy, Hutchinson to Fogarty. Roosters don't have a bye until Origin. And obviously Fogarty, you know, is only an issue if you've so playing Strange.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that. I'm not sure I give up on Hutcho yet. I know he's been incredibly disappointing. I'm not sure I give up on him yet. He's a green dot. Yeah, maybe look at moving someone else other than Hutcho. Are you guys giving up on Hutcho, Stu?
Not this week. My team's literally on fire, dude.
I can't, yeah.
If I had everything was green this week, Hutchinson would currently be called Blaze Talagi.
Well, he's got a break even at 24, so it's not too bad. Like,
no.
If he scores a 40 this week, he'll keep moving and just be a slow burner. I just wouldn't move Hutchinson yet, personally.
Yeah, he's moved a little bit. He's moved $25,000, which is about 20 minutes worth of Tyrell May. That's right, or Hosking playing. Yeah. So, mate, I guess in another 6 to 8 weeks, he might be worth 450. Awesome. Percy also asked, is Appy strong captaincy option? We've done that one to death. Kai Spence.
I want to see some of these teams that are just trading out green dots. I really do.
Mate, it's those. We've got a lot of the same players, I think. A lot of the top players, you kind of box yourself into the correct choices. And it means that when things are going well, we just sit there and laugh at the rest of the casuals. But a lot of time, you know, the people who, you know, just aren't as listening to everyone else as much as often we find ourselves doing. And so, but when we get injuries, so players like Pierre Cora, my brother's going, why the hell would you choose Pierre Cora? It's like all the metrics read correct, all of them. So Rob's asking me because I helped him build the fantasy team in like 6 minutes at a bar before the season started. He's like, why have I got this loser? And he's like, he's not a loser. He's just had really bad luck several times. Like, what do you do? And like, a Nugget yeah. wouldn't have chosen Piakura, right, Mark?
Nah, I think over a long enough sample size, those sorts of things will work himself out. It's just a sad time for us all this week.
That's it. Every once in a while, you just have to eat it. Yeah. Awesome. So, mate, what, Mark, while I got you, thoughts on Terrell May for captain? You've already spoken about that, so a bit of a spicy option.
I like it. I don't even think it's spicy. I think it's a high floor, high ceiling option. I like it. Because the Panthers as well, they don't mind giving up a try to a forward. And he's, yeah, I could even get on him for a meat pie. And you know, like a 70 plus, you know, score or something.
There we go. Mark will show you sports bets receipts on the page.
His offload game will be very important against the Panthers. That's the way you trouble them, really. So yeah, you'll have a big game, I think.
It'll be interesting, actually. Now with Cleary out and Fisher Harris out, it should actually be. All right, Simon Jones, is Cleary Hines a good trade? Should I hold? I think we've said hold. He said rumors are here for 6 to 8 weeks. I think rumors have also said maybe 1 to 3 weeks. So I don't know. So Simon, I'd say hold for now, unless you got options, but I'd probably cash down not to a Hines, but to like someone like a Fogarty or a Brown that plays, or you know, use the money somewhere else. Yeah, Matt Burton. He's the guy coming up against Souths this week. Hasn't scored above 40. Let's get Matt Burton. Has he scored above 40 yet? Have we got a Matt Burton 40?
I don't think so.
Have we got a Matt Burton? He's goal kicking. Have we got him to 40?
I'm just going to confirm.
He got a 41 against the Sharks.
Yeah, 41. There you go. Boom.
Oh. Averaging all of 36.
36.
Yeah. Nah, can't do it, bro. All right. So, Ian Quilter. Valen.
Can we just stay on Burton for a second? No. I don't actually know why he's scoring so bad, because he's not really doing anything bad.
No.
Like, he got a 36 in a 36-0 win against the Titans with no demerits aside from two penalties, like no missed tackles, no errors. Like, what's going on there? What's a genuine question? Like, the Bulldogs...
No attacking stats. That's simple.
Yeah, but they got six tries. How does he have no attacking stats?
Because he wasn't the last class.
The left edge just isn't clicking. It's not playing through him quite yet.
Because they're all playing through Carras, mate.
Yeah, I said this in the preseason. The right-hand side looked better. When Hutchinson runs that lateral line, like the 45-degree line towards the corner post... And then he sweeps in and he's bringing in Carras, and then Preston's running the opposite line, so sort of back towards the goalpost. They look really dangerous. So I think that's why also Preston came up good this week.
Yeah, bit of Carrazzle Dazzle never hurt anybody either.
No, that's it. All right, so look, Matt Burton will be a buy at some point, so probably about $2.50 in a pack of the smokes. Considering a pack of the smokes, that'd probably be about $62.
80 bucks. Yeah,
that's it. Jeez, mate. I looked the other day and I'm just like, geez. It's like, you know, there's plenty of reasons to quit. It's like, obviously for your health, but these days it's more like, you know, you just can't be poor and smoke. Gee. Anyway, not a question for the pod. So looking at this one, Ian Quilter is asking, Belent, is RTS worth the extra dollars rather than Carras?
Oh, I think I'm the wrong person to ask here because I'm so biased.
All right. Mark?
Just by Jaden Campbell.
Yeah, I guess if they need a centre.
You need DPP, though. He probably wants a DPP.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for a centre.
DPP centre.
Oh, except Chris, surely.
Yeah.
At the price, 200K cheaper.
Nah, that's fair enough. For 200K, you can do a lot of things. But Nick, how about you, mate? Are you choosing Chris, Carras, or RTS?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, I've got RTS, and I'd go Carras first, but then RTS, and I would not touch Chris with the temple pole.
There you go. Look, I'd probably go, my heart of hearts, like I really want RTS, but I think that he will go back to the centers after a little while. So I think that it would be Carras, probably Chris, and then RTS just from a straight up value point of view. I think RTS will score you the most points out of these guys up until round 26 because he's got two buys. Because obviously they got the round 27 buy. Benton Lambert says, can we not play this round? Mate, a lot of people's teams won't be. So, mate, just get in there, score as many points as you can. Think of this week as a bye week. The more green dots that you have, the closer to a full team, the better off you will do. Adam Sargent, if the start of the year is a precursor, who are some of the best dual position options for a bench for coverage, taking into account the upcoming bye rounds up to the origin period? So really, he's looking for dual player people to cover all of these injuries. So I don't know what best dual players you can think of to add to your squad at the moment. Mark, any quick thoughts on that one?
Well, you probably should own a couple of them already, in like your Jamin Sammons and Chili Tupanuas, who are both available in round 13.
Yeah. Strange too, most likely.
Ben Turbo and Ethan Strange also both available in round 13. Seb Chris is available round 13, as is Jacob Carraz. They're all dual position players. Yeah, that's a couple off the top. Yeah.
And maybe the cheese if we don't hate him.
Mm. Keep an eye on Nat Butcher's price. 80-minute edge back rower. He averages in the 50s. He's at 675 and has a 62 break even. He was really, really good last year. They're going to keep him as an 80-minute edge. He is a value for sure now and may still get a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, he likely will, probably for a week or two more. Kills it this week. He did tackle his guts out against Panthers last time. He did get like a 70-odd last time that he played because he made tackles.
Mm.
Though I think he was playing lock or prop that week. All right. So, Valent, Connor Hayes goes. Should he be going Cleary to Fogarty, Tohu / Carrigan, or Teddy? He doesn't care what position that they're in.
Cleary to Fogarty or
Tohu, like a middle, like a Tohu Carrigan or Teddy. So he's got Cleary, he's trading one, and he's just looking to buy a good option.
Oh man, I like the middle options there. Tohu or Carrigan. Tohu. Just get Tohu, mate.
That's true. You can park him all the way up until round 26, can't you?
Just get on.
That's true. He has looked better, and the guy who can make 50 tackles does not have a major knee injury, which is always good. Nick, Simon Chamberlain asked, gun mid to buy. So Carrigan, Harris, Murray, and I guess we'll let
Tohu. Can I just say something real quick?
Yep.
I brought Tohu up 10 minutes ago, and yep. Now all these questions are about Tohu.
There you go. Well, look, I'll leave this one with you. Okay, so we'll go if Carrigan, Tohu, Harris, and Murray. So I think you're going for Harris that one. Nick, would you go Carrigan or Harris at this stage?
I got on Paddy, but I like long-term aspirations of Tohu. So I'll probably look at getting Tohu in pretty soon, to be honest.
Yeah, that's while he still remains there. How about you, Mark? It's like any thoughts on that conundrum?
No, I think you guys got it covered.
Easy for himself. Matt Pittman goes, need another wing fullback if Kotrick is cut, which he is. So have him and Paps on the bye. He's got Turbo and Carraz, Trent Cleary and Fafita, which I'm guessing it's Viliami Fafita. So does he go to Fogarty and Campbell or Hines and someone like Bostock? So, I kind of go Fogarty and Campbell over here. Does anyone disagree on that one?
No, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Hines, and they'll have Hines and McInnes on the bye next week. That's murder. That's like killing your team, dude. You get points this week and then get trash next week. All right, Brett G. Grady is back, and he asks, he just says, don't go Hines like we said. So, Nathan, let's go with Mark Reed, who asks, what's the case for and against holding Cleary? Well, look, we're all holding Cleary, but I guess the case against us, we don't know how long the injury is, right? There's no definite return date. It's not like he's overseas, right? And that we know is flying back on the 12th. It's an injury, right? Is that the main argument that we've got against holding Cleary?
Well, there's also the recurring nature of hamstring injuries. The fact he had one last year as well is another concerning factor. The fact he's going to play Origin, and if he's nursing an injury, they're going to be more likely to rest him. And the fact that he's so expensive, and what else can you do with that money? That's, you know, like if you've got Viliami Fafita or one of these sorts of nuggets in your team, that's more than likely never going to amount to anything. And it's Cleary and Viliami Fafita to two guys who are making money. Like, you know, if it's Carraz and Kai Pierce-Paul or Campbell and Fogarty or one of these sorts of combinations, you get two good players instead of one guy who's not going to play for 3 to 4 weeks and somebody who's never going to play again, then that's the argument to make that deal. But, you know, obviously if you can pull it off where you can, you know, move on from like a Moses or, you know, someone like that and get the cash moving, that's obviously better. But if you can't, then, you know, that is 100% an option that's on the table. And it's being done by like at least 15% of fantasy coaches last time I looked. So you're not alone in your decision.
Fair enough. I like it. All right, we have the last one. So, Nick, Ellie Pickering asks, needs a hooker option to cover me for the Storm buys, which I'm for this week, Grant, under 600K. Who's the hooker under 600K you'd be buying this week?
Is there any other than Lussick?
And Lussick's,
is there any other answer other than Lussick? Little, maybe, but Jacob Lussick's Little, probably. Yeah. I mean, cheese. Egan's back. Yeah, cheese. Yeah.
Is Jaden Brayley back this week?
He's off back last week.
Yep.
Was he?
Off the bench.
Well,
that's, yep.
I think Lussick gets a big bump with the injury to Moses in terms of the kicking responsibility. I think Lussick's a great buy still.
Yeah, I'm just having a look here at the price as well.
Go cheese.
Are we still high on cheese though? Like his minutes have been choppy.
Yeah, I think they play better with him. So I think he's got upwards mobility with his minutes, which I think is really important.
It's also possible that they use Connor Watson as a little bit of a lock with the Collins injury as well. They're a little bit short middle-wise. But yeah, that's just a shot in the dark.
There's also the fact that because that's so logical and it makes sense, it won't make sense to Robo either. So he'll just keep playing.
He'll play 27 minutes.
Touche.
They'll move Kiri to hooker, and they'll bring in they'll bring in White to go and play at 5/8, something like that.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh mate, yeah, it is an absolute dumpster fire up and down, mate. Like when you're starting to look at, well, maybe Mitch Kenny. As soon as those words come out of your mouth, is an option. So, mate, it's look, cheese is a risk. Otherwise, it's little or probably the best option is Lussick. I agree there.
Yeah, cheese or Lussick. Yep.
Excellent. Lussick's break even is still 30, so you can still get on. Let's get to the Instagram questions. So the Rev33 says, easiest way to pass this week is to contact Doc Brown and Marty McFly, go back to 3 weeks ago and start from scratch. Mate, I must say I went to sleep last night thinking, if I could have, like, what would I have done differently? And I started doing, like, don't do this to yourself. So, mate, don't do that to yourself because it's a really, you find yourself going, you know, if you do it about this, what are you going to do, you know, when your girlfriend breaks up with you? The bearded man says, hey, lads. And then he starts screaming. He says, thanks. Thanks, bearded man. Mate, your Instagram comments, Mark, there's some sort of funny dudes out there. And by funny, I mean weird funny. Not like ha-ha funny.
Yeah, like unusual. Like they're a little bit unhinged.
Yeah, that's it. Instagram's a different place. For it. That's it. Cheers to bearded man. Nick Eid, is it too early to delete the app? No, I think a number of people are this week. Just walk away. Call the lovely people at Amy. Jack O'Sullivan says, not going to love this Team Loss Tuesday.
Team Loss Tuesday. I love it.
That's it. Best option for Cleary if he's got Fog and Galvin already. Let's go with...
Hold.
You're saying hold, Valent?
Yep, just hold.
Yeah, strong hold.
Mark?
Yep, good. I like it.
Easy. If you otherwise cash out to a different position, mate, if you need the players, if you are short, go pick up. We talked through the middles to death. Go listen earlier. So Connor Hacking, he's got a number of people to go. Nick, he's got Piekura, Wong, Cleary, Keeney, Satili, Hutchinson. Who goes first?
Oh, I think you can maybe just do Keeney to Karaz. You might be a couple of grand short. I'm not sure because I think you need 305 grand to do that. But I would get rid of Keeney and I'd get Karaz if you don't have. That'd be my number one gone.
Yep. Or Campbell, I guess, is another option in there. So if you don't quite have the cap. But yep. And look, I probably axe Wong as well in there and I'll go pick up a cashy this week, mate. So get a guy who's going to make you money because Wong is not making, I reckon, he's going to go for a decent stint in reserve grade. The fact that Egan Butcher's moved back onto the bench kind of shows you where Wong is at.
Yeah, he. The try right before that Wong went off in that last game and never came back or came back on with 20 minutes to go. But when he got hooked on the first bit, he was completely on the opposite side of the field to where he was supposed to be playing. And then they scored a try straight through where he was supposed to be defending. And then he got subbed off immediately.
Yep. There you go. So he's probably reading Robbo's playbook, which is probably all about how to media manage your social media rap career. Let's go. Oh, have you seen the Roosters rap stuff that's going around? Mate, it's
pretty rough. Pretty rough.
All I can say is CTE's real boys. Watch out. All right. Nick Feeks. So he wants to play with 16, trade Cleary and Levi for Carrigan and Coruscant, or get one of them and Jaden Campbell. He's got Ponga, Paps and Turbo. And he doesn't want to have that much cash at wing fullback.
Just means that you buy somebody who's eligible at centre so you can move him into the centre next week.
That's true. Mate, look.
Like Karaz, RTS.
Cleary and Levi for Carrigan and Coruscant, that doesn't seem like the worst option in the world to me.
Nah,
right?
That looks pretty tasty, yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem is there. Then he said he's then going to be playing with 16 this week and trading a green dot.
Oh yeah, he's trading a green dot for green dot. So instead of you could trade one of the guys who's a red dot, so you could trade Cleary in someone who's a red dot for Carrigan and Coruscant. That's probably your best option, right?
No, he said he needs a wing fullback to get 17 because he's only got Ponga.
So it is. Yeah, it's Karaz and RTS. Then no,
or Sebastian Chris
or. Yeah, that guy.
I can't stand for Chris being recommended. I just can't.
I get it because his coverage is phenomenal. You can park him.
It's not good coverage if he doesn't make good scores.
No, he was doing all right. He was doing all right the other week before he got that HIA.
Yeah, he got 29 in like 40 minutes before he got off with a HIA, and he's averages like 38 when he plays at center, mate. He's a weapon.
Okay.
He'll be all right. So go get someone who's dual eligible, and that will help you in the coverage period. If you've already got Strange and someone else, probably Chris isn't the guy, if that's what your centers look like, in which case spend up and get Caress. Zach Shady, thoughts on Kai Pierce-Paul in need of a sub 600k option, and Pierce-Paul could play 80. Well, I think we talked about him, mate, but he certainly could play 80. I am in a perfect world where I didn't have any issues this week. I would have traded Lukey to Kai Pierce-Paul last week or this week. As it is, it seems like a luxury trade for me. But if you got the space, does anyone object to getting KPP this week?
Nope.
No, I heard Tiffany's buying him this week.
There you go, Nick. And you're saying wait 1 week just to double check.
I just wait one more week. You got Brody Jones there, Dylan Lucas, Jersey 18. I just wait one more week on Kai Pierce-Paul. Because if he stitches it up for another week, then you've got really good confidence for the rest of the season, and you can hold him basically the rest of the season too.
That's true. So well, he's from England. He's not going to be playing Origin.
That's the point.
Except maybe if Queensland gets short on players, then they'll find out that he wants to spend a 2-day holiday over in like Queensland.
Hey.
On his way to New South Wales, and that counts. I'm just saying, mate, there's some dodgy stuff happening over here. All right.
Off Kurt Capewell. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, he's like the Michael Bublé of Origin, once a year, sort of blow off the dust and see if he works.
It's worth noting, boys, that the first game that Kai Pierce-Paul started on the edge, he played that game in Queensland, so I think that makes him a Queenslander.
There you go. The State of Origin team will probably think that too, especially if any more guys get injured. All right, Alex Roberts says, Appy versus Fogarty versus Dillbags. I think we've argued this one to death. I think it's... Look, Fogarty's... Appy will play Origin. I can't see a world where Appy's not playing Origin this year. Is that correct? Do you guys see that?
Yeah.
I don't think Cookie's playing.
It looks terrible. Yeah. So look, Appy, unless we do know it's Michael Maguire, so maybe nothing makes sense. Maybe he thinks that it's still 2014 Cookie, and maybe he comes. But look, Appy's likely to play Origin. Dylan Brown has a 8 to 12 week window, but then he's out. Fogarty will play the rest of the season. He's the least athletic and the least fun to watch, but it'll probably be a one trade option. So I probably may pick up Fogarty, then I pick up Appy, and then I pick up Dylan Brown.
Stu, can I just rustle you Jimmy's for a second, mate?
No. Moving on. Okay, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I'm gonna do it anyway. Who do you think was the hooker for the 2014 Rabbitohs team that Michael Maguire coached the grand final win?
Appy.
I was gonna say, I swear to God, yeah. I know Appy played for Maguire at some stage.
It was Appy Curaçao.
Yep. That's it.
He's on.
Yeah, mate. Okay, well we're cooked now. So it is Appy time, even if Michael Maguire's got CTE from bashing his head from coaching the Tigers for that long. All right, moving on. So we thoughts on Dylan Brown. We talked about that from Ben Vicio, mate. We've answered your question. Thank you for that one. Riley Hamilton, taught me why you shouldn't captain Ponga against my Warriors. Riley, mate, look, Ponga can do Ponga things. And if he did his last week at halftime, he was on 40 points. If he doubled that, he would be on 80 points. Instead, he got 12 more points in the second half. So that's the reason why you're concerned about Ponga, is that he just hasn't had any of the slashing runs this year. They haven't been trouncing as many squads, and he just hasn't had any games where he's broken two tackle breaks and gotten a try without an obstruction in the way and getting an opposing forward sin bin. So, mate, that's the only reason why I wouldn't captain Ponga, is we just haven't seen it yet. This year, I think the squad is probably about 2 to 3 weeks away from him and Cogger really putting it together. And once Cogger and him got it figured out and they stopped giving Tyson Gamble so much freaking ball, I reckon Ponga will be on. So I put Ponga down for a buy at what, round six maybe? What are you guys thinking? Round six, they play the Roosters, but then the week after they got the Bulldogs and then the Dolphins, Warriors, Tigers, Titans.
I think he's playing the Dragons next week, isn't he?
He's playing the Dragons next week. So, but then he's got the Roosters the week after.
Yeah, that doesn't really worry me. I think he's a buy now.
Yep.
I'm fine with it.
I think get him in now.
Would you captain him this week, though? Against the Warriors?
No.
I don't captain anybody with a jersey number lower than 7, ever.
Fair enough. There you go. So I guess the way, yeah, anyway.
Although, on the plus side, I know you brought up his try scoring. His career try scoring rate at fullback is 50% or thereabouts, and he's played 3 games and hasn't scored a try, so he's due 100%.
Fair enough.
But the Warriors are good. They're like the best team in the comp, I reckon, the Warriors. So yeah.
Oh, don't get it. Don't get Blend excited. Nick. Look what you did to him.
We just became best mates.
No. It's like them and the Storm and the Panthers. They're easily the best three, and I think the Warriors to me have looked the best so far. So yeah.
Okay. Can I? What do you think the average is of the last two fullbacks that played against the Warriors?
Well, Paps lit them up.
Yeah. And then who was for an 80 something? Raiders. So who was at the back?
Rapana got Rapana. A 60.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
yeah. There we go. So look, Ponga will do all right. Though he obviously won't be touching the ball as many times as a Rapana, who seems to just hoover that thing in. excellent. So, which is very impressive for a guy who weighs about $150. Next one, W. Edwards is hosking a sell yet. I think there's one more week for Ricky to have a stroke and put him back to the starting squad. But or otherwise, if not, I think that his break even is probably enough for one more week. But I'm not a hosking owner. So, and I did put the mocker on him last week, but he's still got a 50. What are you thinking, Mark? Is break even at 29 one more week?
Yeah, I given the fact that he's a green dot and how much better the Raiders looked, I think one more week, but it is definitely preparing for sell time.
Excellent. And then you'll have the issue of what to do with $800,000, which is a very hard thing to deal with.
I was going to say, that doesn't seem like a problem to me.
No. Charlie and Baxter, is it worth trading Walsh to Carrez? Yes. Or is he just chasing last week's points? I think, no, we're saying Carrez is around where we thought that. Look, I thought he was about 550. He's currently at 570, so at 20 grand more. I'd say that he is still a buy. Anyone disagree on that one?
Unless you have heaps of Bulldogs, like if you have Hughes and Hutch and Salmon, you get Carrez as well. They've got the round 9 buy. That's the only issue.
Oh, that is concerning. Look, and Hughes in a different world would be a sell this week because of how badly he's
doing. Sorry, round 8 buy. Round 8 buy, so it's sooner than that. Round 8.
There we go. So it looks like we're going to have a team apocalypse at some point between the Raiders and the Bulldogs. We've got to sell, all right?
Basically.
We're all over the team apocalypse now anyway, so why not?
and while we're at it, we're all recommending a million Eels players as well, but I'm pretty sure they've got a round 9 buy.
Is that 9? Yeah, I think round 9. Round 9, right? Yeah.
That's it. Everyone's going to be Blaze Talangi, Clint Gutho, and Dylan Brown, and Joey Lussie.
Yeah.
There
just,
you go.
Although you can get your entire team worth of buys out of the way in 3 weeks if you just fill it full of Raiders, Bulldogs, and Eels players.
There you go. I like it.
Just get Tohu.
There you go. Just get Tohu.
Just get Tohu.
If only they didn't have that round 13 buy, bro, I'd probably be on it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Next one. Hey, guys, trade decision. This is from Wavy Roz. I don't know. Pick a better name. Option A, trade out Cleary. Answer to it. Fogarty. So you can trade out Cleary and Satilli for Fogarty and Pierce Paul, or he can hold Cleary, trade out Satilli for Pierce Paul, and trade out Kotrickal Chan for Blaze Talagi, leaves 40k. So I would check Cleary and Satilli for Fogarty and Pierce Paul, or Satilli and Kotrick for Blaze Talagi.
I like the second one.
Two. Yeah, get rid of Kotrick because you know that he's trash. Yeah, so probably option B.
Yeah, Satilli's due for a try, isn't he, basically? Looking at, you know.
That's, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're probably running at Luke Garner this week.
Yeah, as much as anyone can be due against the Panthers, he'd have to be.
But he's just a try scorer, though, as a second row. Like, he hits the line hard and gets over. And yeah, I think he's due for a try.
That's true. And they finally got their starting halves back for a week.
Yep.
Or the Roosters. So yeah, I probably. But mate, Satilli for Pierce Paul still seems like a decent option there, and Blaze Talagi, like, because he looks like he wants to get rid of him. All right, but Luke Sully asks, is Satilli still a hold with the likes of Pikora out? Cotter is still playing, so mate, Satilli is a guy who is going to go in a perfect world for me in the next couple of weeks if he wasn't performing. But with the issues at the moment, he's performing. He's a dual player. Just leave him alone, right, guys?
Yep.
Well, Balint, so Duncan Branch, we've answered Captain Batcaps in questions. Joseph Rawlings just asked one question. He goes, WTF? Mate, that's like everyone else. Nathan Beauchamp asks, he's basically just saying that he's having a bad week because he's got Cleary. He's got Murray with issues. This was before we knew that Cotter and Murray were playing. He has got Piakura, Tuapiki, Chan and Pappy on the bye. He's got Hutch, Satilli and Flano. Mate, that's pretty much my team.
Flano's going well. I will not stand for Flano slander.
That's true. 46. He's scoring those tries, right, Nick?
Well, he just looks good. Just stop slandering him. He's doing well.
Oh, I haven't said a word against Flano. It's like he's well down my list of people I want to sell. He's like now in the top half of my squad of people I don't want to sell.
He's outscoring Hutchinson at the moment and outscoring
Tupanua
by a lot. Yeah.
He outscored Cotter last week.
Salmon, he's outscoring Salmon. Yeah, play on.
He's outscored Burbo and Strange combined and Hughes. Burbo, Strange, and Hughes combined last week.
And if Lomax goes, he gets the goal kicking. So there's huge upside there, really, like in the medium term.
For sure. It looks, old Flano there. Jerk Priv, best wing fullback center around the 400 to 500K mark. Balint. So 400 to 500K, so it's that slightly cheaper bracket. So below Karaz.
There's not really that many options. So I've got Jaden Campbell as one. He's probably the glaring option there. But what are we thinking? Are we thinking that Dylan Brown's still going to be predominantly playing on the left side, but or the right side? I know he's playing halfback, but does that change anything there, do we think? Or
he's a left-foot kicker. I imagine he'll stay probably on the left.
No, nah, he's not wander. Left-footed. He's right-footed.
No, he's right-footed. Right? Yeah.
Last season, when Madison played in the halves, Madison played on the right and Brown stayed on the left.
Yeah, I see Guffo controlling that right edge and Talangi sort of floating and then Brown controlling the left. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then surely Mike Acevo probably deserves a little bit of a roar there as a spec, 424K.
Yep.
Absolutely. We actually talked about him last night as well. So he's a definite option.
Yeah.
I just want to...
Yeah, go.
Yeah. Obviously we've got Blaise Talangi there as well, who's as the center is 260K, who seems like a slam dunk.
He sure does. Though, if you need the wing fullback, if you need Pappy cover this week, I'd probably take...
McCullough.
Oh, he's... Yeah.
He's been up and down. If he got that try last week, he'd be in a better spot, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Got a 15 last week. That's concerning, mate.
Yeah, disappointing stuff here, but he can definitely put him up.
Yeah.
I think I'd be more inclined to take Justin Olam than someone like that, to be honest.
Yeah, agreed. Yep.
Yep.
Olam's back from the dead.
So, again, not a wing fullback. That's the only downside. But, yes, look, Olam is definitely...
What about Seb Chris?
Oh, mate, I was waiting for someone to bring him up. I didn't think I could say his name one more time. I might do it.
You might get dropped from the call. Oh, mate, okay. So let's move
on. Talangi's the answer.
Yeah, Talangi, or if you need a wing fullback, it's Campbell or Sivo. Kizos, not a question, more a statement. WTF, yet we get a lot of that this week, mate. We're all looking at the exact same thing. Just play as many players as you can. Just treat it as another buy round. A lot of people are going to get trounced this week, and it's a chance to at least hold your rank. Like, I think that playing with 16 this week will not see massively drop in points, unless the 16 all happen to be, Ethan Strange in his 15. After that 12 last week, I was a little bit sad because I looped him, but I looped him out, and then Chan didn't play, and so it looped him back in, and so it's like, oh. Okay, Damien Halliday goes, do any of you fellas do sports deck NRL Dream Team? I do not. That is a new word to me.
Yep, never heard of it.
Never heard of it, Nick?
No, no idea.
Mark, you ever heard of the sports deck NRL
Team? I think maybe I've heard of it, Dream Team. I think Dream Team was the OG fantasy. I think it was like the first.
Okay.
It was about 12 years ago.
They have a bunch of stuff on there by the looks. I've never looked into it. I also played another one called, there was some sort of one I played a while back that the scoring was real weird and I got angry and left, stopped playing it. But no is the short answer to the question.
Excellent. Okay. Rich and Sash, why do I feel like I have too many Roosters and not enough Tigers players? Because the Tigers have one of their three good games this year, mate. Just wait 2 weeks and be happy. Zane Gibbards, best plan to replace the Moses Cleary halves combo. Okay, so for someone who's got trounced this week, Nick, gut check, Moses Cleary. So I'm guessing he's got to replace them both.
I'd trade Moses.
Yeah, but who to? So if you're selling them this week, what are you doing?
God, I don't know. You have to see the team.
Just while you're thinking about it, obviously there's no obligation to run those like two gun halves again. Like I think like for me, I'm running Galvin and Hutchinson in my halves this week, yep. As I imagine many others are. So don't be shy to just run some polished turds this week and look for a gun half like a Brown once he bottoms out instead of trying to force it this week.
That's true. I like the thinking there. Yes, I'm running Galvin Hutchinson right now. All right. So next off the rank. So I think we talked to Appian Fogarty to death, the Cashos, mate. So you've got some good info there. Marco G, Kieran Saifidi to Bobbity and Turbo are, look, it's two guys who are playing from two guys who aren't. So, yeah, Saifidi.
Yeah, that's random.
Mate.
Yeah, I think there was one guy at the start of the season before round one that hit us on the Instagram and asked about Jacob Saifidi. And we had a look at him and he had like 2020 and 2021. His PPM was a lot higher and he actually averaged like 44 or 45 when he was starting at prop. And he was starting again, and then he got that try, and there's a couple of turnover tackles, and I think he was pretty excited post round one, thinking he'd made a good call, even though I tried to talk him out of it. And yeah, subsequently, you know, found to be actually giving true and correct information the whole time.
Yeah, 53, 37, 29. Yeah, we're just seeing it go downhill, mate. So he might do all right this week, but yeah, just make the trades, bro. Sounds like otherwise you'll be him. Some money shortly. Corey Boyce says that he's got Cleary, Piakura, Tuipeke all out with Cotter and Murray playing. He wants to go Piakura and Cleary to Foggs and Teddy. And look, mate, Tuipeke's not going to play again. So either Chance is back or you're going to have someone else playing out there with the initials RTS. So just trade Tuipeke instead of Piakura this week, because at least you know Piakura is coming back. Okay, Christian Mau. So, Mark, thoughts on picking up Drinky over Ponga? Bit of a pod play.
Hard no.
Excellent. Thoughts and thoughts of Carrigan as a mid option?
Yes.
Excellent. To Dig Twin, another person, change your name, dude. Do you think this is the year that separates the boys from the men? Okay, let's do a quick gut check on this. Look, probably. I think a lot of people are having to find a lot of real hard answers real quick. I know. What about you, Nick? You feeling like it's a rough year?
Mate, week one I was like 120,000. So, you know, yeah. It's a slog, but you know, if you plan well, use your trades wisely, and I think you can really make up the ranks. Plenty of trash teams above us and heaps of casuals that are in the dumpster fire right now. So hopefully we can jump above the boys.
Yep. And to Dick Twin, the one thing I'd say is that value, if you can't get points, aim for value. So rather than picking up a guy who could be up, but he could also lose 50K like Appy this week, go pick up Blaze Tuilagi, who literally has to punch the ref to lose, like in the first minute. If he does it 15 minutes in, he still made your money. Yeah. So
just as a point of like, you know, reinforcing what you guys have already said. So like amateur Rob, shout out to Rob. He, he first week he scored 687 and was 62.5K. And he's now, after round three, ranked 1,421.
Nice.
Nice.
So he, him and Ryan, they had three teams between the two of them in the top 400 this week and just absolutely rocking it up the ranks. So it's just, you know, like make good decisions. And I mean, obviously last year having the buys really sorted the men from the boys last year with that addition and the having to plan over those region. I know Stu, you did really, really well by just being patient and trading your way through that period and taking advantage of your, you know, pre-planning. So yeah, don't get impatient with this. Just sort of, we're only three rounds in and there's a massive log jam. So just play it with a straight bat.
Yep, that's it. And the only way I was able to do that last year, play through the buy rounds, was cash. Essentially, if you make money now, it means you've got money to spend on boys come round 13. So that's all I can think of there, because I was about 14 million at that point. Awesome. So let's have a go. Belent, have you ever seen the 80s show Quantum Leap from Jim HP?
Nope, I have not.
Anyone?
Nope.
I've seen like three episodes on like daytime TV when I was a kid. You know, when you're like playing sick and so you get to watch TV at home and you get to see how bad the TV that our parents was, which is why they're such evil people. That's when I watch Quantum Leap. It's not very good. Lockie McCarron. Sorry, I tape out this later. My parents, my mum listens to this. Sorry, mum.
My mum's an angel, all right?
That's it. Lockie McCarron goes, he's talking about trading Clear into a Peaky to Galvin, Terrell May or Foggy. Yep, that's a great work there, mate. We've talked that one to death. Okay, Absolute Hound Dog asks a great question. Nick, he's trading at Chan this week. Are you worried that Chan, having missed that game and Bloor getting talked up by the coach, is doing a good job? Could this be the end for Joe Chan?
No, I don't think so. I think Sean Bloor missed out for a reason and Chan got picked for a reason. I think Chan was out on his feet in his first week in the job. I think he's looked much better subsequently, and I think he'll come straight back in. He's got a long-term price outlook of making, you know, an extra 150 odd K or so. And I think he'll get there. I think he'll be back next week.
Excellent. And I guess this week we've got bigger issues, right, than guys who we knew were having a bye.
I mean, if you think he's not going to come back in, then he's obviously a trade. But I think he, just based on the eye test, I think he looked really good.
Fair enough. Valen, we got one about Levi or Hughes for Finifuaki.
I'd probably be going Hughes.
Yeah. Anyone disagree with that? Anyone else seeing huge upside in Hughes? I think we're kind of all hoping for Max King 2.0, but we kind of got, I don't know, who's a player who doesn't perform all the time?
Ben Murdoch Masilla.
There we go, yeah. Ben.
although he actually made some money last year.
It just took ages.
It just took ages.
Yeah, that's probably what Sam Hughes is going to do with these averaging 20 odd.
Yeah, we'd need an injury to like Kurt Mann or Josh Curran to see Hughes' price go, I think.
That's it. And Mark, quick question for you. Is it too late to trade Terrell Mayen?
No, and I don't even think this is the last week to do it either, but obviously you probably should if you can, but no it's not, and you can probably still buy him next week.
Excellent. Nick George Swan 08 asks, is Olakwadu a horrible pick? He's given up now, wants players that are fun to watch. He's probably got about 650 grand. Who would you pick who's fun to watch?
Yeah, I think Olakwadu is about value, to be honest. He can pop for 80 or so. And he looks really good on that edge. He looks to be really pushing for an origin spot this year. Yeah, you got to have guys that you like to watch on your teams somewhere, you know.
Which is why we all have Jamin Salmon.
Oh, yeah.
Exciting fella that he is.
Got to love undersized, weak-gutted dogs playing in the middle. got to love it.
Yeah. Thanks, Ricky. Awesome. Jeff is Bill as asking questions.
Just quietly, surely you pile into Kai Pierce-Paul in the fun-to-watch category for about 75K less.
Yes.
You have to, wouldn't you?
That's it. Or you go and pick someone like RTS if you just for the eye test. Yeah. But yes, but Kai Pierce-Paul definitely seems like a better value play for 200K. Ola is 750.
Oh my god, yeah, no.
He's at value. Yeah, there's no value there is the point.
No. And it's partly to the fact that Luke Brooks is playing so well, which means is that you're not getting as much ball into what's his name's hands, like in DC's hands, which means that Ola isn't getting that good short ball.
Phrases you didn't think you'd hear in the NRL season.
Brooks playing too well.
Stealing the ball from DCE.
Yeah, that's it. But, mate, it's funny, eh? Like, once someone gets a good structure in them, and you know what? Anthony Seibold's probably a guy to talk redemption stories and whatever else to him as well, I'm guessing. Sell him really into that.
Yep.
There you go. Tigers, you know, and then Tigers obviously produced Lockie Galvin, so they're not even talking about him right now. Jeffers, they'll probably let him go to Melbourne for about 50 bucks. Jeffers Bill says, Cleary to Fogg and Pikura or Tupanea to Karaz. Is he crazy to be training at a green dot this week? So, yeah, probably Pikura and Cleary if you need to make those trades, dude. Otherwise, he'll need to play Bourbon 7 instead. Just look, yeah, take the first option or just hold for now. Christian Ma'u says that Mark, he's got 7 players out this week, no wing fullback cover. Should he sell Cleary for a gun?
Yeah, if you got 7 players out, I would question whether Cleary's in the top 2 worst hold options.
Mm.
I'd probably be more inclined to move somebody less good on, like a Piakura or someone like, or a Wong or someone like that, and pick up a Jaden Campbell, Seb Chris, old mate, what's his name, Blazer. Pick up someone like that instead of selling Cleary to try to squeeze a gun in. Personally, that's what I would be doing.
Yep. Look, and to be fair, that's what I've done as well. I'm selling Wong and Piakura this week as well. Valence, Bede John Dwyer asks, thoughts on who's the most upside of Palacia, Finifuaki, or Talagi?
Well, I think we can probably cut Palacia out of that conversation.
Thank you.
I think it's probably Blaze, no?
Got the longest runway, doesn't he?
Mm.
I think it's probably Talagi.
Yeah.
Yep, Mark agrees on that one, Nick.
Here's a spicy idea. What about Isaiah Katoa?
Oh, thank you for bringing him up this week. He just re-signed for another 4 years as well.
Yeah, he's getting older. 421K. He's averaging, he scored over 50 last week, and he plays 13, 16, 19 as a half, and he looks pretty good in a Wayne Bennett side that I know they dropped Sauce like at a drop of the hat, but I sort of think they'd have, if they re-sign him the way they have, that he's got to get a good runway now, right, Stu?
Look, I think it's certainly a long-term show of confidence. It means that they're going to push on Milford, and they're likely to push on Nikarima or SOS. one of the two next year. So that's certainly indicative, right? Is anyone disagree with that thought there, that at least Katoa's probably got a spot for a few weeks?
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's got a little bit of value. I just don't know if it's as, like, if it's any better than like Hutchinson or Flanagan or one of those type of guys, which we've already got. But like, it's the big thing is that last score, Cody Nicarino went off the field. So he was the only half on the field with someone with a boot aside from Marshall King. So that game was inflated. But, the big concern for me would be if Nicarima drops out and O'Sullivan comes back, more than Katoa getting dropped, because his average is just in the toilet when O'Sullivan plays. That would be my worry, more than Katoa's longevity would be Nicarima's longevity.
Fair enough.
Stu, could they have brought in Sean O'Sullivan just to protect Katoa?
Look, Katoa was the guy. So as far as they were going through the talent pathways at Penrith, so Katoa was like the next up and coming. He'd be the likely replacement as it would stand to Luai for next year if he was still there. So they were so cranky with him, like, and all the time that they put into him, they dropped him all the way out of essentially reserve grade. And yeah, so it's a little bit, they were really high on him. So he's the next guy.
Yep.
So yes, SOS is also there because his dad is the chief of recruitment of the, and he did play well at the Panthers for that year.
Yeah.
And it's someone who could run the team around. But yeah, they look, with a year under his belt, Isaiah Katoa certainly looks better there. And having a look at the squad, SOS is at 19. Did he have a baby? Was that part of the reason as well?
Yeah, he did. Well, he didn't have the baby. His partner had the baby.
I wasn't sure, mate. Did you see him trying to get into that dress shirt the other week?
No, I did not.
Oh, mate, he was trying to show that he beefed up, and it's like, oh, geez, dude.
Oh, my God. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, no. Yeah, I just, that would be my worry is I knew Katoa was great, and my concern is more the milkshake division if it's that SOS comes in.
True. And I guess where are we seeing? Are we thinking Dolphins bottom four this year, guys?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
How will I've already got guys at the Dogs and at the Dragons. I'm not sure that I need to get all three of the cheap, ugly wing fullbacks in bottom four squads.
Can you squeeze some time?
And Galvin.
As well.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. I've got Galvin in there too. So we might have all four.
Galvin, Blaze, Katoa. It's not good, is it?
Oh, mate. At least Blaze is playing at centre. All right. So I think we've done this one. Stan the Can Man says, urges Solota, Wong, Pikura, Tupania, Hutchinson. I think we said guys who are playing, guys who aren't. Isaac Chaitor says, only carrying Strange and Burbo. Who's the best centre with upside to get in? He says Karaz. We say yes. Richard 64. So Balint, he's thinking of Cleary to Karaz and Wong to Terrell May. And then you can trade out Hosking and Tupania next week to some studs. What are you thinking?
Sorry, I'm a bit confused. Can you repeat that?
So he wants to trade Cleary to Karaz for a centre cover and Wong to Terrell May.
Leaving 220 in the back. Oh, right. Okay, gotcha.
So what are you thinking there?
Well, KPP is probably an option. Go with Nick Strat and wait a week and see how he goes. How much would that leave him?
Oh, look, if he's selling clear, he's got unlimited cash. So I think he's trying to get on these guys who are up this week, which is Karaz and Terrell May, and then maybe wait a week on Pete by the sounds of it.
Oh, I suppose you could probably get KPP and you could probably have a look at Dylan Brown, see how he goes this week as well.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Sounds like a great option there. Nick, let's go with NMolder01, Pikura to Chris. He's got a full team, or he can go Pikura to Finifuaki, and he'll be a wing fullback short unless Talau pulls.
I'm guessing he's got
no cash, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, God. Look, if you have to do it, do it. I just don't like it.
Yeah. That's it. Balint as well. Like, there's no one else playing.
Sounds like you don't like it either.
Yeah. I don't like it either, but it is what you got to do. Sometimes 17 players is worth it, dude. Like this week, Chris is 30 odd, or somewhere between 16 and 40. We'll probably somewhere between, 50 and 5,000 ranks, depending on that.
Yeah.
All right. So Mark Varner is thinking about selling Murray to Terrell May. Mark, does that seem like a smart idea?
No.
Yeah, because he can then fund Pikura to Karaz or Ponga, but it still doesn't seem like a great idea, right? You don't sell guns?
Don't sell guns and don't sell Cameron Murray. I definitely think you need to get a little bit creative with Pikura to, once again, Jaden Campbell, Blazer, one of these types of dudes, instead of selling somebody good.
Excellent. No, I like it. George Swan 08 also is nice. It's got a comment there. Boxy, Nick, he's gone Pong or Turbo.
Turbo.
Done. Steve O. Robinson, Belent, he's going Kia Ora. So he's going, he needs a wing fullback. He either wants to trade Cleary to Fogarty and then either Campbell, Akraz, or Turbo for Hughes. So he can get rid of Cleary and Hughes and then get him Fogarty and like a wing fullback, like a Campbell, Akraz, or Turbo. Or he can hold Cleary and just do Piakura to a Campbell and to Tola to May. Terrell May.
I still think option two's great. For me, to be fair, for me, any scenario where you're holding Cleary's gonna be gold, but I love those trades regardless.
Yeah, that's it. Option two seems to be all right to me, and the fact that
why are you moving on to Tola to May? That's a bit sideways. I know it's a points upgrade, but you know, Tola's doing all right.
Is he actually?
No. Like he's a green dot, and he's like at value. Like he's not going backwards, you know.
But I also think there's probably like at least a 15-point upgrade as well at the same time.
That's true. He's proving himself to be a bit of a force.
Could you do someone else to May is probably what I'd ask, you know?
That's true. Yeah, I guess try and find someone else if you can't get rid of Tola.
Would you sell Tola or Tupanua?
Tupanua, I think.
Well, yeah, I'd sell Tupanua.
Because the Roosters are just so stacked. Like, they just got so much depth.
Yeah, so the only question is then if you lose that 90K, you then go Campbell down to, like, Chris or a Blazer.
Talangi.
Make it work.
I'd do that.
Excellent. All right, so Manly's team talks about Dylan Brown. We've talked about him to death. So having a look here, we're almost at the end of the Instagram questions. Sugar Glider 01. Hey gents, despite not chasing last week's points, the exception Karaz. Yes, Karaz is the exception because he's basically at where you started the season from. He's only 20 grand plus, so it's okay. Normally the reason to stop chasing is because they're 150k past and they're only going to come back down. The guy wouldn't be chasing is like Tago's points from a couple of weeks ago when he was already at like 700k. Karaz at 570 is still a buy. Okay. Nick, Talagi or Iroh? Iroh's on the buy next week.
Yeah, Iroh gets one game pretty much with Niokora coming back. Nikra coming back, sorry.
Yeah, that's about right there. So unless something happens to Talakai, like he's got to run more than 100 meters.
Yeah, but you can't bring Iroh in now.
No, he can't.
Crazy. No, you can't. Talangi every day of the week.
Excellent. Mark, Discord asks, what happens if Hosking gets 50 plus in his 60 minutes?
We all celebrate and hold him for another week.
That's it, right? Until he doesn't. Is it just hold him until he stops performing?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. As long as his projected score is above his break even, we're holding, which I suspect is going to finish after this week, pending some sort of re-injury to Elliot Whitehead. But even then, he's at 750, which is like a 53, 54 average anyway. I had him projected at like 57, 58. So once he makes his next little bit of dollary dues, you know, turning him into a Carrigan, Torhu, something like that, or all the way down to a Nicara or a Bateman and putting 100, 150K in the bank seems pretty attractive to me.
Like it. All right, Belent, Chuvasashek asks, in the market for non-origin permanent wing fullback. Price, no issue. I'm guessing he's got Cleary cash.
Well, if last year's origin was anything to go off, it's probably Ponga, no?
Probably is.
Yeah.
Especially with Reece Walsh only copping 3 weeks. The news is today that he'll likely be 3 weeks, not four. So just having a look through the rest of the wing fullbacks here, there's not really many other guys that are jumping out at us, are there?
JC, no. Guffo.
I don't think either Karaz. Of those guys are final team players, though, are they?
Yeah, Gutho's window sort of kind of closes with Moses back about halfway through the season.
Yeah.
So Campbell could be, but it's all of luck. So yeah, Ponga is the best. Like I'm scrolling down and we get into like Zach Lomax, like you may as well pick up RTS at that point, right? Chuck him at center. Yeah. Like that's kind of where you're at, unfortunately. It's the answer that you look
for. Ponga's almost the same price as Dylan Edwards. That's all you need
to know. I was just looking at Dylan Edwards as well, actually, but you'd probably still go Ponga, wouldn't you?
100%.
Kicks goals. So I always like those. I think we do, don't we, Nick? The kick goals, we like them.
Yep.
That's it. So, Yavish Smith, which is why Steve Crichton at some point, if he ever takes over the goalkeeping, we're worth a go, because he's absolutely plump waste points, by the way. Stop what you're doing. Go find the app. Find Steve Crichton, who's averaging, I think, 25 at the moment?
Yeah, terrible.
24.3. He's averaging 24.3 at the moment. He's down basically 96 grand. So he's at 524. We know that he's a 600K guy. And we know that at some point, the coach will have to have whatever electroshock therapy that someone will have to send him to realize that Taff is not buy, and then Steve Crichton will get more opportunity. So, yeah, go check a star on him. Let's see. Jacob Shiraz asks Cleary to Fogarty and Kotrick to Turbo. I feel like that's at least if you're going to sell Cleary, it's a 2-for-1 upgrade. Any disagreement there, Mark?
No, I think that is the type of deal that I would do.
Excellent. All right, Nick, is Finifoaki still a solid buy?
That's a really good question, mate. Bringing out my cheapy watch. Look, it's tough because he has a 5-week runway still.
Yes.
So if he hits, say, a 40 being, you know, probably upwards of his projection,
yep,
he'll make about 120K the next 3 weeks. So if he gets 5 weeks, he might make 150K if he averages around 40 in 60-ish minutes. So I think he's still a good buy.
Excellent. Okay.
I'd look at Blaze or Galvin first, though. Fuki would be after that.
Yep. No, that makes sense. All right. So Max Johnson is basically going, he's trying to sell Cleary and Piakura. He's looking for either Cleary and Piakura to May and Kai Pierce-Paul, or he can go May and Appy or Dylan Brown as certain scorers. Those feel like you're selling a guy who you know these two guys are going to play all season versus two guys whose roles are a bit uncertain in main IPS4. Because round 9, you get Spencer Lennie coming back, which might put a little bit of downtime on Mays as well as all these injury returns. So I don't love that. Does anyone love that?
No. I liked it when I first heard it, but then you said what you said, and now I like it less. I'd look at Kai Pierce-Paul and Fogarty as two options.
Yes.
Like a combination of two players.
So someone whose window doesn't end in like 6 weeks, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think I like that.
Yep. One risk, not two. All right. Close one. This one's out to anyone who can think of it. Who's the best draft pickup of the week?
As in May? Like a waiver wire. No,
I'm guessing waiver wire.
Dom Young, I got this week.
Oh, nice.
He's averaging like 60.
He is. Yeah.
Just watch the more to the point is watch the guys who get dropped. So like for example, like Pezzet is gonna get dropped probably in the little leagues on the bye, and we have no idea what's going on with Munster. Like dudes like that, Scott Sorensen might get dropped, you know, players like that.
And if you're trying to pick up someone on the snake, then mate, Blaze is probably the guy. So
Blazer.
Yeah.
Blazer.
Laser and Taser and yep. Michelle.
All right. Salty Marty says, how concerned should I be double trading every week?
What?
Mate.
What? What's his name? Salty Marty.
Salty Marty.
Salty Marty. As I said, there's some
bit of a thematic episode.
Oh mate, I'm having some tough time here reading some of these out. Says, how concerned should he be around double trading every week? Mate, if your team's on fire, just hop out and call the people at Amy. Like, it's just do the double trades until it stops smoking.
Yeah. The one thing to keep in mind is the earlier in the season you use a trade, the more weeks that you get to enjoy the benefits of that trade that you made.
Or regret.
However, if you run out of trades in round 25, like I did last year, you might find yourself moving from rank 150 to rank 750 in 2 weeks. So don't do that.
Yeah, that's ugly, dude.
So you gotta save them up a little bit. But yeah, if it means not getting, you know, like if there's a couple of guys this week that are like really easy buys, like Nick said before, Galvin, Blazer, Finifuiaki, there's a bunch of dudes that like, you know, they're out for a while. Pika is out for a while, we think, although maybe not. But, you know, there's a bunch of other guys, you know, Kotrick, the Viliami Fifitas of the world that are just rotting in your emergencies. Move them on, get the cashies in, get the money moving early so you can take full advantage of those price rises. But don't be trading Cleary to Nicho Hynes only to then have the exact same problem that you got this week, next week, where you're looking for a replacement because you got too many red dots.
Sounds about right. All right, Balint, Reacher 316. It sounds like Stone Cold 316, only for Jack Reacher, which again sounds weird, but this is where we're at. Hey, boys, head-to-head, looking to trade Cleary and either Piakura or Kotrick, thinking Fogarty and Tyrrell May. Is there something better?
Oh, I mean, Fogarty and Tyrrell May are pretty good, to be fair.
Probably get 100 points between in this week, right?
I reckon easy.
110, 120. And, like, Belen, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I think I'd be more okay with selling Cleary as a head-to-head player than an overall player.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm probably doing that this week, to be honest. So, yeah, Fogarty and Terrell May, they, yeah, seems like a great option, 205K in the bank as well. Yeah, I'd be very open to doing something like that.
Excellent. I like it. All right, CSTM Grow. That's really trips off the tongue, bro. Which one do you like more, lads? He needs Carrez for the wing fullback's spot. Kotrick, not named. So he's got basically it's Carrez and Fogarty, or it's Carrez and Terrell May. Nick, who are you thinking? Nick's had to drop out. So let's go with Mark.
Yeah, I think I'd play the Fogarty just in the case that we know what his role is going to be all year, barring injury, versus Terrell May, short-term play. Similar sort of scoring pattern. So I'd probably go the Fogarty.
Like it. All good. Tulavici, Belent. He's going Keeney and Wong to Fogarty and Terrell May. Essentially, he's going Terrell May or Kai Pierce-Paul. Who would you choose?
I'd probably be going Terrell May.
Excellent. I think that he's, yep, I'd be waiting 1 week for Kai Pierce-Paul, right? Like, just to double check that there's no mucking around with him.
Yep.
I'm fair warning. I am absolutely 100% diving in this week on Pierce Paul, but I don't blame anybody for waiting.
Fair enough.
And I don't blame anyone for getting on either.
Yeah, no, I don't tend to trust players not on $1.4 million under Adam O'Brien. So, and I don't even trust them. Even Ponga, they mucked around with him, right? They put him at 5'8" and then almost CT'd him out of the game. So yeah, I do not trust anyone around Adam O'Brien for my fantasy squad long-term. Who's not playing fullback away from his plans. So Sebastian, finding a way to utilize Haas money, they're singing Tuipiki to Terrell May, that still leaves him with 400K and only 16 players. And so he's then going, I can use second trade to sell Kotrick and then get someone like, so the Appy Jolliffe KPP to chase value. So Mark, what are you thinking there? Yep, you go that way.
Do it. Spend it up.
That's it.
Can't take it with you.
Yep, use that Haas cash. So, yep, I don't have any because I spent most of it on Carrigan, but he might be my captain this week, so I'm not too sad about that.
Yeah, I really like Jolliffe as a season-long, really nice value play for, like, you know, 150K, 10 points of value. I think
you see Jolliffe getting a 700, 680?
Oh, yeah, well, he's 510 now, so he only needs to get to the 650 or so to be a really nice value. And then, you know, depending on what Queensland do, Mo Fotuaker, Dave Fafita, you know, State of Origin wise, Palacios is pretty clearly not an answer to a question that anyone should be asking. Isaac Liu is old and crusty. Doesn't seem like Dez is particularly interested in Mo Fotuaker. So Jolliffe has shown that he can play good, big quality minutes in the past. So I really, really like Jolliffe at the price.
He's great. Only downside is around 13, but that's for a lot of players, right? Like half the comps around 13.
Yeah. So. Oh, mate. Well, yeah. Like I actually messaged Ryan and Rob. I was talking to them earlier today and I actually worked out I could make no trades between now and round 13 and field a full side of round 13 players. I don't think round 13 is actually the issue. I think it's 14 might be the issue because between the Raiders and the Roosters, most people have got more than four guys on that. But 13 actually looks like a pretty easy fill. So I'm not, the thing is you got to have guys available in, you know, in 14, in 16, in 17. So I actually don't mind buying guys who aren't available in round 13 as long as you structure your team.
Yeah, that's it. Check your team structure. I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Belent. And he's also already got a buy out of the way as well.
Always good. Belent, last one. Damien Cooks asks, today he goes, if you wanted to full send this week, would you captain Latrell? Day game versus Doggies. Turbo.
Oh, man, I don't hate it, but here's a little disclaimer. I'm actually captaining Turbo this week, so.
Woo!
Mate. Latrell, I think his highest score over the last couple of years has been an 80-odd. He just doesn't have that absolute ruthlessness in his character and those base stats to crack that century mark very easily. Like, I'm just going to double check it, make sure I'm not going to see my inbox flooded full of, no, what about that game? But can anyone remember a Latrell century?
It has to be close.
Yeah, I think he might have.
I'm not sure he's ever got there. He's got into the 90s.
I think there was one game when he first pretty early came back from his big hammy injury where he went absolutely nutso. I'm just going to look it up just quickly.
Yeah, he scored 100 at centre.
It looks to me like he got an
105
82.
In 2018.
Yeah, okay, so that, yeah.
He got a 98 against the Bulldogs in 2022.
Yep. So yeah, he did.
62 points in attacking stats. 12 tackle busts.
Hold on. His last two games against the Dogs, 98 and 82.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Dogs are a better unit than they have been previously, but yeah, he will do pretty well against them, right? In the day, the team's under the pump. The question for really is how bad are Souths at the moment? Are they really that bad? Are they going to get into a tight game versus them, or are they going to tune them up, Mark?
No, I think the physical or lack thereof nature of the Bulldogs team is going to benefit Latrell, who's going to be looking to make a statement after the Rabbitohs slow start, personally. So I quite like that move, well, Len, to be honest.
How about you? What are you thinking after your research?
No, I said I did like it, but I just prefer Turbo more myself. I've got a feeling he's going to turn up this week against the Dragons. Sorry, Nick, you're not here anymore anyway, so it doesn't matter.
And Nick unfortunately had to leave us for the sick kids. So they've got the Twilight game, 5:30 against the Dragons down at Wynn. So that's a good game to get. Actually, I think Ryan will be at that one.
I've actually got a draft league where I've got Latrell and Turbo, and I've got to decide which one of them I'm going to captain.
Oh, mate. That'll be good.
Go on, Latrell. I'm going on. We'll run the gauntlet.
That's it. Well, look, I probably captain Turbo, but captain Latrell can certainly pay off for you. All right. That is the end of the questions. Any final thoughts, Belint?
Wish me luck.
Mate, you got 17. You're at least...
Not really. I was so stoked because I was actually looping Levi and Hughes, but now they're just both my 17. So, yeah.
That's it. When it rains, it pours, mate. How about you, Mark? Any final thoughts?
Oh, I'm just wondering where the rest of the questions are. Is there more?
No,
surely,
mate.
That's not it.
Oh, mate. We've only been going for how long now? 2 hours and 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's two hours.
Yeah, mate, we're cooked.
I just thought I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, no. Anyway, mate, and you know what? So thanks for coming on. Thank you to Nick, who's had to go off to look after a sick child. Thank you to everyone who sent in your questions. We really do appreciate them. You don't really need to go and change your names to those people unless I can't physically say it, in which case, yes, please go in and change it. But anyway, this is the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Questions Podcast Collaboration 2024 signing out.
Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed our collaboration. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast and check out Facebook pages for more info.